Welcome to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, brought to you by Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. The Rapala family of fishing products, including VMC hooks and 13 fishing rods, reels, and more. And the Bass Angler Sportsman Society. Now, here's your host, lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the St. Croix Bassmaster Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Strike King Bassmaster College Series and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. Now, the Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, High School National Championship, College National Championship, and the College Bracket Event, leading to a Bassmaster Classic berth. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are. And for more information about how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. Now, the best way to communicate with the show is to visit our Facebook fan page at Facebook.com/Bass or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the Nation tab at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. Our first cast segment of the show is brought to you by 13 Fishing, and we have a great deal for you right now. The Gerald Swindle Design Meta Series Rods and Inception G2 Reels are available at 13fishing.com along with all their other great products. And for a limited time, you can get 20% off your entire order by using the discount code BASSRADIO20. That's BASSRADIO20 only at 13fishing.com. Now, I fish these rods and reels myself and could not be happier. Get 20% off with the code BASSRADIO20. The Strike King College National Championship is going on at Pickwick Lake, and we'll have a full report on that, plus the winning team on next week's show. In the meantime, the elites are getting ready to head to Lake Champlain and on the New York-Vermont border, once again going out of Plattsburgh on the New York side. Now, the last time the elites were there, Missile Baits Pro Brian Schmidt took the win, and this time he's coming off a fifth-place finish at St. Clair. Brian is coming up a little bit later on in the show. And sitting in third place in the Angler of the Year standings is Tyler Rivette, just 41 points off the lead and having his best season of his career. Now, Rivette opened the season with a first and a third and has only missed one cut all season long and is closing in on $500,000 in winnings in less than 4 years on tour. Tyler is coming up today as well. But in the leadoff role is our friend Bernie Schultz, who was looking to make his 10th Bassmaster Classic, sitting just 35 points or so below the classic cut line with a couple of his favorite places coming up. But Bernie had to pull out of the final two events of the season with an off-the-water injury. Bernie has been doing this for over 40 years, and he's amassed nearly $1.3 million in winnings with Bass alone, and he joins us now on the VMC Hook. Bernie, welcome to the show. I hate to say how are you, but how are you?
I'm good. I'm getting through it, Tom. I appreciate the opportunity. We'll see what happens as things progress.
Yeah. So explain what happened, because, we have seen guys, jump out of the final couple of events of the year in the past when there's some travel because of some mysterious injuries. You didn't want any part of that. I mean, you're these places up north are an ATM machine for you. So explain how you got hurt.
It was the dumbest thing in the world. We were trying to move a 70-inch flat screen TV, one of the old ones that were, much heavier than they are today. And it was up on my son's dresser, and he doesn't live with us anymore. I was trying to get it off the dresser. My wife couldn't help. And like a dummy, I tried to do it myself. And when it fell, I tried to save it, and I should have just let it hit the ground, but it tore my bicep loose at the elbow. Oof. Completely severed the tendon. And so reconstructive surgery scheduled for Monday. I wanted to tough it out and continue through the tour and then get the surgery afterward. But my orthopedic surgeon said that the chances for a successful surgery beyond 3 weeks is not good, and that he highly recommended that I do it as soon as possible. So that's where we are.
Left arm or right?
My right arm.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, that's brutal. So, and the timing of all of this happens, so you fish St. Clair, and then you take your boat over to Champlain, and then you fly home, and then that's when this happens?
Well, actually, I drove to Syracuse and left my rig at a friend's house there and flew home. And my son just got married this year, and they just bought their first house, and we were trying to move some stuff and help them get in their new house. And I wish he'd have been here, because then it wouldn't have been an issue. But stupidly, I tried to do it on my own, and it was a big mistake. The TV was chest high, and I didn't have a good feel for the weight until it was too late.
Now, you've been fishing pretty well. I mean, you know, going to be 69 years old in September, but your fishing is, you know, as good as you fish. You were closing in. I honestly believe you were going to make the Classic. I thought you were going to get there and get it, close that gap. Only 35 points with those two places up north. So I thought that you had a great, great shot to do it. Is the plan, do the rehab, and you're back better than ever, you know, in the spring?
Let's hope so. You know, he tells me there's about a four-month recovery, a full, complete recovery if I'm diligent on the physical therapy. You know, I'll be in a permanent – it's not permanent, but it's a cast that immobilizes my arm for 2 weeks, and then I go into a cast that has some mobility with a hinge, and I'm able to take it off parts of the day. But, you know, it's kind of to restrict and limit the amount of motion I have until my arm completely heals.
Now, when you had the injury, did you mess around afterwards trying to, let me see, can I cast here? This is my right arm. I mean, did you even attempt that before you made the decision with your doctor that, no, we better not do this?
No, I mean, the pain initially was beyond what, I couldn't believe how painful it was. It subsided pretty quickly. But anytime I tried to lift something or twist my arm a certain way, I'd get a quick reminder that, you know, wasn't going to have the mobility or the strength. By the time I spoke with my orthopedic, and, you know, I'm lucky to have this guy. He's young. He's on the cutting edge of that type of, you know, surgery. And he also services some of the athletes at the University of Florida. So he's very familiar with my injury. He expects a full recovery, provided I don't injure it during the recovery process.
Yeah, Bernie Schultz with us here talking about the injury that has taken him out of the last couple of events, including a place he calls his favorite, the Thousand Islands and the St. Lawrence River. And I understand that you are going to be part of the broadcast team, though, for Bassmaster Live from the St. Lawrence River, sharing some of your knowledge about that as well. This is kind of going to be a lake deal, I would think, right, going out of Clayton. A lot of people are going to head to the lake or Henderson Harbor or so on. But you're joining us in the media for a little while, right?
Yeah, that's the plan. I got asked by Steve Bowman at Bass to participate in the coverage, and I look forward to that. That's a nice consolation. I'll get to see the guys one more time before the season's over. And, you know, I hate it, but, you know, the biggest letdown is, you know, not being able to be there with the guys. I mean, it's kind of a commitment. When you join the tour, you have full intentions of trying to complete the full series. And I feel like I kind of let these guys down by not being at the last two events. But I've got a lot of, you know, good support. I've gotten all kinds of messages, texts, phone calls, and well-wishing from a lot of different places. And I appreciate all that support. But I will be at the Thousand Islands and doing some commentary.
Well, I would suppose that all of those great sponsors you have, the Power Pole Charge people and Mercury and Camus and all on down the line, they're going to be happy just wear your jersey. I mean, just make sure you're wearing your jersey, right, when you're doing the broadcast. You might get more TV time than you would have otherwise.
Yeah, I got the greatest sponsors in the world. I mean, I've heard from all of them. They're all extremely supportive. They're all encouraging, and they're patient. They're going to get through this with me, and I look forward to full support for next season.
All right, Bernie Schultz with us here. All right, so you've been around a minute. I'm just a little bit younger than you are, and I got to get your take on this. I remember back in the 80s fishing with my dad on my first Ranger bass boat at the time, and I had a flasher on the front, you know, that had the three different colors. It had the yellow and the green and the red. And he's like, what are you doing? Yep. What are you looking at? And I'm like, well, you know, if it's green, it's a soft bottom. If it's red, it's a hard bottom, could be rock and so on. And he's like, my God, you're cheating. That's not fishing. You're cheating up there with that thing. And here we are now some 40 years later, and, you know, forward-facing sonar has changed everything. In the last couple of minutes that we got, just give me your take on it and whether or not, because some of the guys that have been around a while are very upset about it, and others are like, you know what, this is great technology. Where do you stand?
I'm probably in the middle. I mean, I think it would be more challenging, and I think it would be a more level playing field, especially for the older set like myself, if there were no forward-facing sonar. But I'm trying to be a student of the sport, and I kind of enjoy it. I mean, it's really effective on smallmouth lakes, and as you well know, and I've tried to apply it to other species, largemouth and spotted bass, and I've had some success there. But learning the hard way how to triangulate without GPS and using flashers and paper graphs and all that, I kind of feel like it is kind of cheating in a way. I mean, there's the fish don't have anywhere to recover anymore because we can find them anywhere they live. And, you know, at some point the population needs a break. And I just think forward facing sonar kind of limits that and that is a threat, I think, in some capacity.
Well, my hope is that it maybe chases some fish back to the bank. You know what I mean? That's what I'm hoping. I mean, everybody's fishing offshore now, and I don't have it. I have a 360. I don't have the forward facing on my Phoenix, but I'm just hoping that it pushes them to the bank, and that maybe those of us that like to kind of go down the bank and fish the structure will be able to run into some more fish. But we'll see if it works out that way. Bernie, we wish you the best of luck with your recovery. I know you're going to be back better than ever, and I'm looking forward to seeing you on Bassmaster Live at the St. Lawrence River.
I appreciate it, Tom. And to everybody out there, thank you for your support and all the messages.
Thank you. That's Bernie Schultz. Great guy. He's been on the show numerous times. Just a tremendous guy. All right, coming up next, Tyler Rivette. He's third in the Angler of the Year standings. He's next right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Now, welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And speaking of Phoenix Boats, how about a Phoenix Pro right now that is sitting in third place? He's had a heck of a season. I mean, he started out a house of fire. I mean, there was no doubt about it, but he is hanging in there. Third place in the AOI standings, having his best year that he has had yet in his 4 years as a pro, and closing in on $500,000 dollars now in 4 years as a pro. And he is the one and only Tyler Rivette, and he joins us now on the VMC Hook, not from his home in Louisiana, but from O Canada. Tyler, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm very good.
So what are you doing? You're hanging out in Canada with the Johnston boys and just running around local tournaments and taking everybody's money? Is that about right or what?
Yeah, that sounds like something we're doing. I decided after St. Clair, I stayed at St. Clair a couple days after just because it was just so fun up there. And I mean, you just nonstop catching fish. It's one of my favorite lakes now just because I've figured it out. But, yeah, it was fun. And then I talked to Corey. He's like, well, dang, just get your passport and come on up here for a couple of days. And I'm still here. I might have moved in. I don't know.
Now, see, I grew up on the shores of Lake Ontario. We didn't need a passport back in the day to go back and forth to Canada. It was just like going over to two counties over, you know, and now it's a little bit more difficult to get in there. But, yeah, the fishing's pretty special up there. There's no doubt about it. And if you're a Louisiana boy that's working on your smallmouth game, I suppose that isn't a terrible thing to do to run around to some of those waters up there.
Oh, no. We've been fishing. We try to fish a good bit, but the weather's been pretty bad lately. We're going to get a good day tomorrow, and then gonna be bad weather Saturday, but we're still gonna try to fish a tournament. But yeah, that's the main deal. I just really want to stay up in the north and work on everything. I've gotten pretty good at smallmouth, or aka live scoping. So I do feel confident in the next two, but I definitely just want to stay up because I really didn't want to go home to 101 degree heat and 100% humidity over there where you're melting the second you come outside. And I think I've been up here for over a week and I ain't sweat yet.
You know what? I got to tell you, I'm on the Tennessee-Alabama border where the Bassmaster Radio studios are, and in Winchester, Tennessee, right, you know, the home of Phoenix Boats, right? And all week long, 81, 82 degrees. It's been crazy. Storms have come through and so on, but it's actually been in the low 80s here in the dirty south, and it's supposed to tickle 90 over the weekend, but, you know, that's not as bad as it could be, but certainly not as nice as it is up there. You're probably throwing a hoodie on at night up there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This morning I was wearing a hoodie. Yesterday I was wearing a hoodie. I was actually getting cold the other day when we were fishing. I didn't wear enough clothes. And it's crazy saying that because I'm not used to that, especially down there at my house.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, so it's been a really good season for you. Of course, you started out like crazy. Live scoping at Okeechobee. Nobody thought that would happen, right? And we had you on after you got that win at Okeechobee, going up the Kissimmee River a little bit, looking for those crappie or whatever you people call them down in Louisiana. I forget what that word was that you said. There you go. Do they have that up there? I mean, do they have those up there? I don't even know. We used to fish for, you know, perch up there. We didn't fish for no crappie or whatever it was.
I think they got a few of them up here. I don't think anybody really targets them, though, because you got the walleye and the perch that everybody fishes for. But I've just never had a chance to even try and look for them. I've just been straight largemouth fishing.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, so what do you say, about 35 points back or so? Tell me what you're doing the math. What do you think you need to do at Champlain and at the St. Lawrence, a.k.a. Lake Ontario, to close the gap on these two guys, Brandon Cobb and Kyle Welcher, who are just a point apart at 1 and 2?
I definitely need a 2 top 10s. That would make it way easier for sure. And that's, I think, doing the math, if they keep everything up, how they're going, making the cut, and then myself making the cut as well, I would still need a top 10. And of course, them not really make it, kind of stumble a little bit. But I mean, I don't wish that on anybody, but somebody's got to win the AOY.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And, you know, as I said, you started the season really, really hot, kind of finished the season pretty good last year after that fifth place finish at Sam Rayburn in the Open, you know, against 225 anglers. Then you come out, you win at Okeechobee, you're third at Seminole, and you're thinking this is something special here. You have made every cut except for one, and it's crazy that the one you didn't make is the one at the at Orange, Texas, at the Sabine, which is probably as close to the home as you have fished any tournament yet this year.
That's right. Yeah, I still scratching my head over that one. I had the fish on the first day and the second day to be able to make it to the third day. I missed about 3 ounces, and it's just mind-boggling that I didn't make it. You know, I looked for, when the schedule came out, that's the one I circled like 100 times. I was like, I'm gonna go win this one. I know exactly what I'm doing. I know what to do, like where to go. And I think the main deal that messed me up is the tide, and I didn't play the tide right. The tide switched during the week and started coming in the whole week instead of falling at any point of the day. So I'm really a tide fisherman, so I like fishing outgoing tides, and places I set up on, it's made for outgoing, and everything was incoming. So I still had the opportunities for that one, but at the same time, I can't let that one cost me the year, so I got to step it up for these next two for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's a, you know, on average, again, once again, you're going to have highs and you're going to have lows during the season. I mean, if I'd have told you going in that, hey, Tyler Rivette, the gun show, you're going to make the cut in every single tournament in the first 8 tournaments of the year, you'd take that, right? I mean, you'd have to say, okay, I'm having a good year.
Oh, yeah, I would definitely take that. I mean, if you average at even the last place in the cut, you'd still be inside the classic. So I'll definitely take making the cuts in every tournament.
Yeah, no doubt. I say first 8 tournaments of the year because I'm including the classic where you were 21st in there. So you made it through to the final day on that deal as well. Tyler Rivette with us. All right, speaking of the gun show, when you get out on it, I mean, you obviously came into the season in pretty good shape. You had spent some time this winter in the gym. There's no doubt about it. But when you get out on the road like this and then you start hanging out with the Johnston boys, I mean, they do a lot of 12-inch curls probably. I'm not sure you're doing much more than that. But do you get a chance to work out much when you're on the road, or you lose a little bit of that conditioning?
I do work out as much as I can. For practice days, it gets hard, or tournament days, it's a little easier actually on the tournament days because we get off the water earlier, but I'll still try to get off the water kind of early on practice days, just so I'm able to get in the gym for even just an hour or so and kind of get myself back in my head game, you know, because that's one main part for fishing is making sure you're there and in the right place of mind. And I think that's what helps me with the gym is I get more confident when I'm in the gym and I kind of refresh myself every day. So I feel better with myself, and then I feel better that I'm able to do more with fishing the next day. So, but on the road right now, I have been, especially because no practice has been going on. I went to the gym just now a little while ago, and it's because it's been raining. But, yeah, I normally just go to a local gym. I have Anytime Fitness membership, and they have them everywhere.
Yeah.
Pretty much we go. But up in Canada, I like going to these new little gyms, and I'm going to this Good Life gym, I think it's called. And
yeah.
It's a great gym. I just love the local gyms because they got all these machines that, you know, the Anytimes might not have where you go. And I just, that's the fun part about it. I stayed in there for an hour and a half today just because it was raining outside. So there was nothing else to do. So might as well stay in the gym and do some working out.
You know, my my sons all have memberships to these Anytime Fitness gyms, and because they travel a lot and they are anywhere. I'm just going to throw it out there. You know, you are the gun show, dare I say, a non-endemic sponsor. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, somebody, your people need to get together. I mean, does it not make sense for you to have some sort of gym sponsorship that is available, you know, all over the country? You travel constantly, and then you can do these commercials about how when I'm on the road, you know, this is where I go to get in the gym. I mean, this makes sense.
I know. I've tried that the last 2 years. I think I've tried getting on with Anytime Fitness, and it's just a big corporate brand, and it's so hard to get in touch with people. You just got to know the right people. But
yeah,
I've been saying that every meet somebody in the fitness industry for sure, because I could definitely represent them well.
Yeah, it would make a lot of sense. And not that you don't have a cool logo there with that TR Fishing gun show logo, but I mean, it would be nice to replace that with somebody that's giving you a few bucks to help cover some of these expenses. that wouldn't. all right, just in our last minute or so, game plan for Champlain as you head over there. You've gotten good with the forward facing sonar, and you know what are you thinking? It's all smallmouth. Are you going to try and find a little bit of largemouth just in case? They do have some grass in different spots there. What's your game plan?
I think I'm strictly going to 80% smallmouth. You know, try to stick with the live scope and just doing what I know and what's been working with me this year, and really not change it up. So I'll probably do a lot of live scoping and then maybe throw in a largemouth or two every day for the tournament if I get lucky and find a kicker largemouth that would help out. But definitely I'll be on the water for practice, daylight to dark, making sure I got everything as much as I can dialed in because, like I said, I need 2 top 10s and I can't slack right now. You never know when you can get this close to AOI again. So.
That's right. Good point. Tyler Rivette has been our guest. Tyler, I appreciate you, man. Good luck.
Oh, thank you.
All right, thank you. That's Tyler Rivette. I like that kid. All right, let's get a break in here. When we come back, Brian Schmidt, he won the last time an Elite Series event went out of Plattsburgh. We'll talk to him next on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. This segment of the show is brought to you by the fine folks at visitanderson.com. And, of course, Anderson, South Carolina means Lake Hartwell. Lake Hartwell means big fish, whether they're big spots or big largemouth. It is just amazing. If you look at the results of some of the tournaments they've had there, the high school national championship, I mean, everything is a 4-pound average down there right now at Hartwell. It's a great body of water. And, of course, Anderson itself is tremendous as well. I mean, you leave yourself some time to hang out in Anderson, South Carolina. It is just a quintessential small southern city that has some big city feel to it as well with that small southern charm. You'll love it in Anderson, South Carolina. All right, joining us now, a guy sits in 9th place in the Angler of the Year standings, having another excellent year. But now they're going to Champlain, and that's where Brian Schmidt won the last time they were at Champlain, and he did it with that missile quiver bait, which I don't even know if it was out when he used it there. But he joins us now on the VMC Hook. Brian, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Doing good, guys. Thank you for having me. Super, super excited for this last two events up north, man, and we're ready.
Yeah, I bet you are. And you list Champlain as your favorite lake. Is it your favorite lake because you won there, or was it your favorite lake before you won there?
Before, I mean, it's been my favorite lake prior to me winning. I mean, I fished the first event I fished up there was a 2011 FLW Tour Open and got, I think, like 8th place or something like that, and just fell in love with it. And it's just a really cool fishery. Most most guys that get up there, they kind of agree.
Yeah, it is absolutely tremendous. And you can really, there's a lot of different ways to fish it. I mean, everybody talks about the smallmouth. There's really good largemouth fishing there. It'll be interesting to see whether Ticonderoga is in the mix this year or not, whether guys are going to make that long run. But man, it really, there's just so many ways to fish it. And it's, and you know, largemouth can play there as well.
100%. So, when I first started going up there, the largemouth seemed to play a lot more. I don't know if it was there was more, you know, more of them and larger ones or whatever. And then it seemed like we've had a few years of lower water, and I think it's hurt the largemouth a little bit, just the growth of the larger ones. But here we get to go up here this time, and the water's up. And it's probably going to be a whole different game up there this year.
How much does the forward-facing sonar play into that as well? Because it used to be you'd go up there, you could find grass, you know, forward-facing sonar or 360 even, you wouldn't use any of that because you knew you were in the grass and you'd be doing certain things, you know, fishing for largemouth. Has the forward-facing sonar put the smallmouth even more in play than they have been in the past?
100%. So there's been guys saying, oh, man, they're getting bigger. The smallmouth are getting bigger. No, no, no. They're the same smallmouth that's always been here, but we're just able to really catch every single one that's out there.
How much do you – go ahead.
You know, target the fish that we never did before. You know, oh, they're not on this point today or they're not in the grass today. Shucks, it's tough. Mm. Well, now we could still get them.
Right. How much history do you fish there? How much does that come into play? You know, when you get to official practice, are you looking for new waters? It's a huge body of water for sure. But are you looking for new waters or are you hitting a lot of the history? Because obviously you have tremendous history there.
So I'm always open-minded when I go there. I've won tournaments there, and they've all been different areas, different techniques. However, I do have some history places that I got to sample. Gauge the fishing for me. I feel like I can get a bead for how it's really shaping up that week. And then the key is to find new areas, new stuff for that week. I've never been able to duplicate success off the same exact places there for some reason.
Yeah. Brian Schmidt with us here as they head to Champlain. He won the last time the elites were there. He's coming off a fifth place finish at Lake St. Clair, looking to finish like a train, right? You still think you got a shot here, right? I mean, you're about 60, 70, 65, something like that points back, and you've been known to finish strong. And, yeah, you've got this one and, of course, the St. Lawrence River, which is really Lake Ontario, where you guys will go out of Clayton. But you put together a couple of more top fives, you're going to scare some people.
I think so, man. You know, I'm definitely going to fish like I fish every tournament. You know, I'm going to show up and try to find the winning fish and just, you know, go from there. If it works out, it works out. But I do feel like there's a chance for anybody in the top 10. You know, in just one event, the points could look a whole lot different. So, you know, we'll see. Hopefully we'll do our job and, you know, see how it shakes out. But I would love to go to St. Lawrence with a legitimate chance, you know, going into the final event.
Yeah, well, no one counts out Brian Schmidt when you go north. That's sure the Maryland angler. And talk to me about this Missile Baits quiver, because I think when you won there in 2021 at the Guaranteed Rate Bassmaster Elite there, I don't know if it was out to the public yet or not. I know I had some, but I don't know if it was something that was public yet or not. But talk about that quiver, how you fish it, and how it's been a little bit of an ATM machine for you.
It was the deal for me in 2021. It's still a major, major player for me. Anytime I'm Nico fishing, I got that on. It's just a very subtle. It's a worm with a subtle tail that gives you just a little flare on the tail. And, you know, it can mimic the perch up there, which is a big deal when you go north. The yellow perch, largemouth and smallmouth can key on them. And I'm telling you, I rigged up today. I got it rigged up for Champlain for sure. And hopefully gonna feed it to some big fish when we get there.
Talk about your setup for it. I mean, how do you set it up? You talk about it being Nico rigged, but what are you fishing it on? What kind of weight line and so on?
Yep. So I start, I got a 7.2 medium heavy Versa spinning rod from Fitzgerald Fishing. And then I personally have a couple of the early run Nico rods, my signature series Nico rod from Fitzgerald Fishing. That's not out just yet, but I got a couple of them. And that's a 7.1 medium heavy. And I'll be honest, I take 10-pound P-line braid to an 8-pound or 10-pound fluorocarbon leader, D-line fluorocarbon leader. And I got a Hayabusa special wacky hook that I love for Nico fishing. And I just put an old O-ring on the quiver about midway up. And I put it on with the O-ring, and I put a Rains tungsten nail sinker in it, in the nose of the bait. And, I throw it at just about everything up there, to be honest with you. I can't say exactly what I'm going to throw it at this year, but it'll be rock, grass, docks, I mean, anything. And it's a bait that both species will commit to.
Right.
And a lot of success can happen on Champlain when you find both species using the same place. So, we're ready.
Yeah. Is it a bait in other places that, I mean, you ever fish it any other way? Do you ever Texas rig it or anything like that? How does it play as a worm that way?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. When I go down to Florida, it's a killer, Texas rig with a real lightweight, 17-pound fluorocarbon, fishing spawners you can't see. I'll Texas rig it, flip it in grass. Yes, it's a player year-round. I just feel like I really, really like it when I go up north on the Nico rig, though.
Yeah. Is this something that did Cruz just send you a pack of these and say, here, try this out, or were you involved in the development of this bait?
No, John. This was all John. He knocked it out, and he was nice enough to hand them to me. Kind of like he handed me the mini magic worm at the Classic this year, right before the tournament started, said, hey, I think you might like this. And it ended up being my bait of choice. So, no, I wish I had, but I can't take any claim for it.
Yeah, no, I hear that. And, of course, he came out with some new product as well. That Bomba is a very interesting bait. I haven't seen it yet, but that thing is something a little bit different. The Cover Scat, the Bomba, these new baits that they have come up with are kind of unique, man.
Yeah, the Bomba, here's what, people are associating those kind of, scat baits, stuff like that, for smallmouth, but a real cool deal you can do, especially on these northern lakes, when you want to fish real shallow boat docks. You can skip those things. You can Texas rig it and skip it. No weight. You can skip it a mile.
Yeah.
It looks like really nasty around them shallow docks.
Yeah, it looks like something they would skip, that's for sure. All right, we'll get a quick break in here. When we come back, we'll talk more about the season that Brian Schmidt has had next on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. We are visiting with Brian Schmidt as he heads to his favorite body of water on the planet, Lake Champlain. And he is in ninth place in the standings heading into this tournament, coming off a fifth place finish at St. Clair. So he is coming in with a lot of confidence, that is for sure. Give me a weight, Brian. What are you thinking it's going to take to win this one at Champlain? Because certainly at St. Clair, it ended up being a little more, I think, than most people thought.
I'm going to go out and I'm going to throw you the exact weight, 82 pounds.
82.
Yep. I'm not so sure what I won with last time. I don't think it was quite that. But I think just everybody being so good at forward facing, and a guy mixes in a couple big largemouth here or there, they could have that easily.
78 pounds, 5 ounces, paid $100,000 for you the last time you were there in 2021. So you're not too far. If you're 82 pounds, you're probably winning that thing. What is your take on the forward facing? There's a lot of chatter out there. We hear some of the old timers really complaining about it. It should be outlawed. It's destroying fishing and so on. And then we see others that are saying, hey, you know what? This is the evolution of fishing. You still got to get them to bite.
I've been with Garmin since the inception of LiveScope. I'm one of those guys. I embrace it. Here's the bottom line. Until they say no, I'm embracing it full force. It's a major tool. As far as I know, it's not going anywhere. We're going to continue to use it. If we don't, then I'll start over with, you know, with my process. But right now, you know, as long as we can use it, man, it's one of you have to embrace. And guys that aren't, it's catching up to them, man, unfortunately.
First place I ever saw it was fishing an open with Sam George at Champlain. And I'm looking over his shoulder. I'm like, what in God's name? And he's like, hey, watch this. And boom, there's my bait. And I'm like, are you going to be kidding me? I mean, this is crazy. And it has certainly been a very, very useful tool for anglers. That's for sure. But, you know, there is that misnomer that, oh, you see them and then they bite. No, they don't always see. Sometimes it can be even more frustrating because you see them and they take a look at your bait and they're not taking. So it could be like the old days fishing at gin clear water in the Finger Lakes when, you know, I'd see a bass swim up to it with my eyeballs and they don't take it. And that's frustrating.
It is. You know, it's one of those deals, though, man. You can learn from everything you see. So they're not reacting to your bait. You just learn something, you know, so you can play with your baits and see what they really react to. It's a tool that you must embrace, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Brian Schmidt with us here. You opened the season at Okeechobee 64. Not a great deal for you there, but you turn around 22nd or 29th at Seminole. And then you dang near won the Bassmaster Classic in Knoxville, finishing second place there. Just take us through the emotions of that, you know, finishing second at the Classic. I know we had you on after that Classic, but just now that it's been a few months, your thoughts on that?
It proved to me that, you know, I can do it. I could win a Classic. You know, I didn't do it. I come damn near close. I believe in my heart. Throughout the event, I had winning fish on. I did lose some fish. So what I take from it is my process and everything I'm doing is going right. And it doesn't have a classic does not have to have grass for me to have a chance to win. So I felt really good about that, man. It's nothing but good vibes from that, to be honest with you.
And you've made every cut since then as well. You've come out of there with a 33rd at Murray, a 11th at Santee Cooper, 46th at Lay Lake, 35 at the Sabine, and then 5th at St. Clair. So, I mean, momentum, confidence, that's a real thing in fishing, isn't it? I mean, either it's one thing you're out there thinking that you're not on them all the time. You always think that there's a different spot. Or if you're out there and you're thinking, you know what, there's a bass that's right behind my bait looking at it.
I'm so in a good place right now. It's like a few events this year, plan A, B, C, D didn't work, and I just had this calmness like it's still going to happen. It's still going to happen, and it keeps happening. So I don't know how to explain it, man, but it's just clicking right now, making good decisions. Really, really looking forward to getting up to Champlain and getting that going.
Now, are you still doing the charter boat thing on the Lower Chesapeake Bay as well for the saltwater stripers and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah. So the full swing. You know, I get home from these events, and it's right on to that. So, yep, that's going on. We'll be doing that till December 10th.
Wow.
And, you know, the fall feeding frenzy will be upon us soon.
Yeah, of course you had that little break too, where that you know, in the Elite Series, that I imagine maybe you got out a few times as well. All right, before we let you go, you are known to be a great swim jig fisherman. That is my favorite thing to throw as well, the swim jig. So we want you to give us a little bit of your setup with the swim jig. Always braid, not always braid, and always grass, not always grass. Give us some good Brian Schmidt swim jig deets.
My swim jigging is a little different. It's fluorocarbon It's 15-pound P-line fluorocarbon. It's low and slow. I like getting it down in submerged grass and submerged structure. I have a swim jig. It's from Hayabusa, the Little Schmitty. It's my signature series swim jig. It is ready to go right out the pack. Get that. Get a Missile Baits mini D-chunk, put it on the back, and get in some sparse grass. And, you know, just get it down, throw it out, let it hit the bottom, and slowly start reeling in. When you feel you hit a piece of grass, give it a pop. And if you really want to do something, check out my Signature Series swim jig rod from Fitzgerald, designed for my style of swim jigging, man. And, you know, listen, I've weighed a lot of fish in doing that, and it's pretty much why I'm on the Elite Series, to be quite honest with you. So, you know, it's something I really like a lot, something near and dear to my heart. Might end up doing it in Ticonderoga this week. I don't know.
Never know. You never know. It that is a different technique. I mean, that's almost more like regular jig fishing. And so you're not swimming it real fast, hopping it, you know, moving it real fast
Correct.
Through the top of the water column. Any time you throwing it around wood at all? Do you throw it around a dock at all? Or are you just looking for sparse grass?
I've done it around some isolated stumps. For sure. I've done it around boat docks. I just seem like I get around trees and lay downs. It, you know, it's designed with such a flimsy, just a real light weed guard that it's not good around wood, to be quite honest with you. It's designed for, you know, that offshore grass fishing.
Yeah. Well, we wish you the best of luck at Champlain. We know it's been great for you in the past. You'll be a guy that we're looking for, certainly. And who knows? I got a notion that you might have a day one camera in your boat. And for your sake, I hope you have a camera all 4 days. So we'll see how that works out.
I hope so, man.
All right, man. Appreciate you. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, before we put the Bassmaster Radio Phoenix back on the trailer, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. Let me take a minute to tell you about the new line of plastics from Rapala, the Crush City Series. They were introduced at ICAST, and they've already accounted for hundreds of thousands of dollars from Rapala pros in the developmental phase. There is the Freeloader, which is a trailer that pairs perfectly with your favorite bladed jig, and the Mayor, a swim bait in two sizes that could be fished alone or as a swim jig or spinnerbait trailer. I'm a big fan of the smaller version on my spinnerbaits. The cleanup craw is exactly as it sounds. It's a creature bait in the crawfish family that will clean up for you. And the Bronco bug is one of the most unique baits to come along in a while, with these heavy appendages that kind of dolphin kick back and forth. It just drives the bass wild. These Crush City products in some really amazing colors will be available this fall at all your major outlets. And if you're looking for the best in sublimated fishing jerseys, the best in the business is Valley Fashions. They have all the major logos, and they'll set up your artwork for you, and they'll get your jerseys turned around quickly. Valley Fashions has incredible stock designs, or they'll work with you on a custom design. Valley Fashions has done our jerseys at Bassmaster Radio for the last several years, and I couldn't be happier. Visit VFOutdoors.com and get your order started today. That's VFOutdoors.com. All right, there's still time to get into the last couple of events in the Rapala Fantasy Fishing, and you can join our group as well, the Beat Bassmaster Radio group. Just go to Bassmaster.com, click on Fantasy Fishing, create an account, and log in, and then select a group from the group's pull down. And each week, the high point earner in our group will win a prize package from the show's sponsors. Now, next week, we'll have a complete rundown from the Strike King Bassmaster College National Championship from Pickwick Lake as well. Now, remember, if you miss any of this week's show, it's always just a click away at Bassmaster.com/radio, or visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Anglers page, and you'll see the Bassmaster Radio listed right there. Finally, you can visit the Sports Map Radio podcast page at sportsmapradio.com/podcast and just search for Bassmaster Radio. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.